You should check the website always to know when the next class is, but, because it's changed a few times due to other programs going on. But today we're meeting 10 to 12, and then on November 15th, which is Wednesday, we again conflict with the number theory seminars. But as far as I know, they don't have a speaker, so it's okay. 1:30 to 3. Okay. So last time we discussed a little bit about P rank, and in the case of elliptic curves, we saw the P rank is either 0 or 1, and then we gave a criteria for the, we actually identified in the lambda form of the equation of an elliptic curve, which ones have P rank 0. These are called the supersingular curves. In particular, we found that there are only finitely many isomorphism classes of supersingular elliptic curves, and that only depends on the characteristic and not on the field of definition. Okay? So that fact is something we're going to use today, eventually, not right away. Okay, so now let's start. I want to talk a little bit about the dual abelian variety, and then go to the Tate module, and then to endomorphisms, and then to complete reducibility, and finally today we'll relate P rank to some information about endomorphisms. Okay, so for any line bundle L on A, A being an abelian variety, we had a map, L map, which we denoted phi sub L from A to pick A. Pick A is isomorphism classes of line bundles on L on A, up to linear equivalence. And it sends a point x to what we denoted Tx star L, tensor L inverse, where Tx is the map from A to A, which is translation by x. Okay, you have the map translation by x. Tx is the map from A to A, which sends a point P to P plus x. That's a morphism, translation by x. You can use it to pull back a bundle. So L is a bundle viewed, let's say, on this copy of A. You can use this map to pull back a bundle to here, and you get Tx star of L. And you tensor that with the L inverse, or the dual of L. Okay, and we saw that this is a homomorphism. In fact, it is a homomorphism. Homomorphism of what? Of groups only, because pick A at the moment has only structure of group. It has no geometric structure. A is a group, but it's an algebraic group. It's a variety. But pick A doesn't have any such thing. It's just a collection of line bundles. So it has a group theoretic structure, but no geometric structure. So when I say it's a homomorphism, I mean a homomorphism of groups. Maybe just to emphasize that, homomorphism of groups. And if we denote K of L, set K of L to be the kernel of this map, so that's the set of points x in A with the property that Tx star of L is isomorphic to L. And I've already stated that if L is ample, then K of L is finite. By the way, whenever I write something like this, a point on a variety, of course, without any further specification, it means geometric point. That is, it's a point defined over the algebraic closure. Okay, for example, then this kernel is finite, and in fact, there is a Okay, in fact, there is a one-to-one correspondence. Between finite subgroups of A and on one hand and separable isogenies from A to some abelian variety. So let me just say separable isogenies from A. And the idea is that if you have a map, an isogeny A to B, call it F, then you send it to the kernel of F. That's the finite subgroup. Because by definition of isogeny, the kernel is finite. Right? And conversely, if you have a finite subgroup, then you send that to the map from A goes to A mod K. So one has a notion of being able to divide a variety by a finite group. Strictly speaking, there is an equivalence relation here going on between isogenies. Two isogenies will be the same, I guess, if they factor through. You see, you can make a map from A to B and then follow it with some endomorphism of B. I don't count that as a different isogeny. Endomorphism or isomorphism, maybe. No, I just said endomorphism. So I don't count those as different. So it's not necessary to specify in detail, but there is an equivalence relation implicit in this. Okay, so you have this map from A to pick A, and pick not of A is a subgroup of pick A, and I'm going to define it invariantly like this. It's a subgroup of pick A defined by the set of line bundles with the property that phi sub L is 0. So for each line bundle, I have this map phi sub L. And I look at those for which this phi sub L is identically the 0 map. In other words, that is, phi sub L identically 0 means that for all x, translation doesn't change the isomorphism of this line bundle. Isomorphism class of the line bundle. And so this is a certain subgroup. Again, it has only, at the moment, only algebraic structure. A group theoretic structure. And the point though is that the map phi sub L A to pick A has image in pick not. In other words, here is pick not sitting inside here. So this map actually goes to here. To that subgroup. Okay, again, pick not is the subgroup of this consisting of line bundles for which this map phi sub L is identically 0. It's a certain subgroup. Okay, don't mix up this L and this L. This is a set of all line bundles with the property that the associated map is identically 0. Now I give you a line bundle, an ample line bundle. Okay, And now I look at the image of that map, and I'm claiming no matter which ample line bundle I pick, the image is going to be in pick naught. And to see that, all you have to check is, to verify this, note that I have to check that phi sub L of x, you see, for any point, for any x in A, you see, phi sub L of x, of course, is a line bundle, namely the line bundle T x star L tensor L inverse, and I have to check that that line bundle lands inside pick naught. But to be in pick naught means the phi of that line bundle has to be identically zero. Right? So for any, this thing, this is of course in pick naught, pick A, and phi of that line bundle I want to check that that's identically zero. So for any point y, for any y in A, this thing by definition, I mean this bundle by definition is Tx star L tensor L inverse. And again, by definition, this is Ty star applied to Tx star L tensor L inverse. Tensor L inverse. So now let's unwrap this. Ty star followed by Tx star is Tx plus y star. This is Tx plus y star applied to L. Tensor Ty star like to L inverse tensor with L sorry, did I make a mistake? Sorry? This is correct, right? Oh, this is wrong here. It's not L inverse. It's Tx star L inverse tensor L. So this part is correct now, then this is tensor Tx star L inverse, tensor L. And then we proved that, we showed in an earlier lecture, that Tx plus Y star L, tensor L, is isomorphic to Tx star L, tensor Ty star L. Remember, that was how we proved that this map phi sub L is a homomorphism. So now you apply it here, and you see that this part here is L inverse, and an L inverse tensor L is O. So this is O. So you're going to always get the trivial bundle. And that's why the image of phi sub L is in pick naught. Okay. So, as I said, if L is ample, K of L is finite. But also, another thing is, if L is ample, then we can add here, and phi sub L is... leave this out. Okay. If L is ample, then phi L from A to pick naught A is surjective. In other words, pick naught is the image of this map. I'm not going to prove that. It requires a little bit of an elaborate proof, But once you have that, then as groups, therefore, as groups, A modulo K of L is pick naught of A. Right? Because K of L is the kernel of phi sub L. Agreed? But the point is, now this has structure of a billion varieties. This isn't a billion varieties. I can divide by a finite group. I can divide a variety by a finite group and still get an algebraic variety. And so therefore, that's how this thing here gets endowed. Therefore, this is and becomes endowed with geometric structure. So something that started off life as just an abelian group is in fact an abelian variety. Okay, so that is pick naught of A is an abelian variety. And there's a notation for this, it's called the dual variety. The dual abelian variety. Okay, it's also interesting, maybe as a remark, to say what is pick naught in terms of divisors. You know, we have this dictionary between divisors and line bundles, and in this presentation we found it convenient to work in terms of line bundles. Traditionally or classically, if you work with curves, let's say, and they're Jacobians, then you tend to work with divisors. So what? How do you describe this in terms of divisors? So divisors, so this business here of translation by X on a line bundle, pulling back a line bundle by the translation map, which is what was involved here in the definition of this map, what is it on divisors? It's just translating the divisor by X. And then taking L inverse or L dual is just minus of the divisor. So this map TX star L tensor L inverse corresponds to the line bundle corresponds to some divisor, and then phi sub L of X will correspond to, let's say, phi sub D of X, which is the map. I take D translated by X, okay, that gives me a new divisor, and then I subtract D. And please don't cancel the D. This is a new divisor, okay? And now, I have a curve, let's say, some surface, okay, and I have a curve. That's my divisor. What I'm saying is, I'm looking at, I'm translating this curve, assuming there's a group structure here, I'm translating this curve over. Okay, so I get a new curve. Now, in the divisor class group, I mean, I look at the free abelian group generated by divisors. This is a divisor, this is another divisor. I can look at the difference. It's an element in that abelian group. And now, so that's certainly an element in this group, but we take pick A as isomorphism classes of line bundles. That means the linear equivalence class of divisors. You see, so here we take isomorphism classes of line bundles that corresponds to linear equivalence of divisors. Linear equivalence, just to remind you, you say two divisors D1 and D2 are linearly equivalent, if the difference is the divisor of a function. Okay, some function. If you two divisors differ by the divisor of a function, in other words, if they differ by a principal divisor, then you say they're linearly equivalent. That corresponds to isomorphism of line bundles in that dictionary between line bundles and divisors. So therefore here the map phi sub d actually goes to the linear equivalence class. This divisor. Now what does it mean for phi sub d to be zero, identically zero? Phi sub d is zero means that for some d, for some x, d plus x is linearly equivalent D. So there is a name for this. You say that two divisors, definition, two divisors, D1 is algebraically equivalent to D2. So I'll write that D1 alg D2. If that happens, D1, some translate of D1 is linearly equivalent to D2. So pick not in this context consists of, so therefore in terms of divisors, pick not consists of divisors which are algebraically equivalent to zero. And the quotient has a name as well. The quotient is called the Neron-Severi group. So this is an F of A. The definition is pick A, not pick not. Notice it is pick not that has the structure of abelian variety, not pick. Let's just see now. I guess that's right. It has to be for all x. Yeah, for every x, d plus x is linearly equivalent to d2. Let me see, is it the same? Actually, if this is linearly equivalent to d2, that's the divisor of a function. So if I translate by another thing, if I translate this by another thing, x prime plus y, let's say, then that's that is linearly equivalent to d plus, yeah, it has to be for every. Maybe some thought to be given to this, but maybe it's the case that if some translate of d1 is linearly equivalent to d2, maybe you can get all translates. Maybe. Okay, so we have the Neron-Severi group, and now, as I said, this is an abelian variety, but this is not, and this is just an abelian group. So I've taken a quotient of one abelian group by a subgroup. I get an abelian group here. And this is an abelian group of finite rank, and I guess I'll explain that in a moment, what I mean. Just for now, just the definition, Neron-Severi is the quotient. Okay. Now the dual has some functorial properties. In particular, if I have a map, a homomorphism from A to B, homomorphism of abelian varieties. It doesn't contain what?
V in the definition of V.
Sorry, say that again. Pick not is all divisors.
Define in terms of V, yeah?
No. No, but that's the point. So that's why I went through this calculation here, even in terms of line bundles. Pick not is all line bundles for which that phi map is identically zero. Yeah. So, no, for any line bundle, any L, there's a map, P sub L, from A to PK. Okay? And I'm saying consider those L's for which P sub L is 0. Yeah. Right. Right. I know it's a little bit confusing. That's why I went through that calculation on the previous board. Okay. But then the point is, once you know all that, I can choose an ample L, and then this pick not is A mod KL. Okay, functorial properties. If I have a homomorphism of abelian varieties from A to B, then there's a dual map. F hat from the dual of B to the dual of A. And of course there is such a map because it's just pullback of bundles. Because remember the dual is a collection of bundles on B, and from this map I can pull back such a bundle to A. That's what this map is. And you have to verify that you still land inside pick not. And if F is an isogeny, it has a degree. It has a degree, and then the degree of F and F hat are the same. Degree of F equals the degree of F hat. And finally, moreover, there is an isomorphism from A to dual of the dual. So if you take the dual twice, you get an abelian variety which is isomorphic, not isogenous, isomorphic to the original one. And this map, by the way, this comes from the Poincaré bundle, which is a bundle it's good to know a little bit about. On A cross A dual, a lot of the theorems that I sort of stated without proof are require the Poincaré bundle for their proof. So what is the Poincaré bundle? It's a bundle, as I said, on A cross A, and it has the property, it is characterized by the property that for any x in A hat, if I restrict that bundle, let's say Poincaré bundle, let's call it P, P restricted to A cross X, okay, it's a bundle on this product, so I can restrict to a certain axis, if you like. Then what is this bundle? Well, X is in A hat means X itself is a bundle on A. This is the one. So is the bundle, line bundle, represented by X. And you also want to know that also P restricted to 0 cross A hat is a trivial bundle. So there is such a bundle, you have to construct it. But then using that bundle, you can get this map A to A double hat. So the idea is the map A to A double hat is given by X goes to the Poincaré bundle restricted to X cross A hat on the other axis. Okay, so this is the bundle on A hat, and A double hat of course refers to like it's pick not of A hat, so it's a bundle on A hat. Okay. Now what we can do, I want to speak briefly about what we can do with this dual. It's going to be important for us for pairings, but I'm going to come back to this point later on. So if F from A to A is an isogeny, then of course kernel of F is a finite group, in fact finite group scheme inside A. And we have the map F hat, which is the dual map from here to here. And this is also an isogeny. And kernel of F hat the subgroup scheme of A hat, and they're dual as group schemes. Moreover, kernel of F is, as I said, I'm going to say this just briefly now, but we'll come back to it when we, if there's time to talk about pairings. So this is a finite group scheme. It makes sense to take its dual. And this dual is the kernel of the dual map. This dual, if you like, is HOM into GM. So if kernel of F, for example, is of order n, its maps, its HOMs from kernel of F to mu n, nth roots of unity. I'm going to come back to this later on. But once you have this, now you have a pairing between the kernel of F and the kernel of F hat into GM. So this is pairing. GM. Now, in particular, if F is multiplication by M, let's say some integer M, then kernel of F is the points of order M, and F hat is also multiplication by M, some fact. Which factors you can't prove at the moment because I didn't tell you how to construct the map F hat. But if this, then F hat is also, this is multiplication by M on A, this is multiplication by M on A hat, and the kernel of F hat is the A hat bracket M points. So you get a pairing from this times this to mu M, which is M roots of unity. Which is called the Wey pairing. And in the case of elliptic curves, A hat is A. An elliptic curve is self-dual. So you don't see the dual there. You just see E bracket M cross E bracket M. And then going to mu m, and in that case the Wey pairing can be made very explicit in terms of functions on the curve, and I will do that next time. Okay, so we have pairings. Next let's talk a little bit about the Tate model. Okay, so the Tate module is defined as follows. I pick a prime L, and I consider A power L to the N. So in other words, points on A which are killed by the power of by L to the N. Okay? Points on A such that L to the N times that point is the identity. Zero because it's an abelian group. You with me? Okay. Now I have maps. If n is less than or equal to m, then we have a map. We have a map Now we have an inclusion, actually. A bracket L to the N inside A bracket L to the M. So these things form a directed system, and I can look at, we can consider their inverse limit. So we may consider with these maps. And also, by the way, we have another map. We also have a map going the other way, A bracket L to the M to A bracket L to the N, namely multiplication by L to the M minus N. You have a point which has the property that L to the M times the point is identity. If I multiply that point by L to the M minus N, then it has the property that L to the N times that point is identity. Right? So I have maps like that, and using these maps, we can form an inverse system, these second maps that I wrote down. These maps allow us to take the inverse limit and that's called the tape module. So explicitly this consists of sequences. Where AI is in A bracket L to the I, and L times AI plus 1 is AI. It's a way of packaging together all of these L power points. Notice now if L doesn't divide the characteristic of whatever field we're over, then A bracket L to the N Z mod L to the N the 2D, and D is the dimension. Remember we worked out that structure, right? For points prime to the any n, in fact A bracket n, where n is prime to the characteristic, is Z mod n to the 2D. So you have this as a billion groups, okay, hasten to point out, as a billion groups. And so when you take this inverse limit, what you're going to get is the LID completion, right? The inverse limit of Z mod L to the N is the LID integers. So you get ZL to the 2D. If you, by the way, take the direct limit using the inclusions instead of the inverse limit using this map, you'll get the dual of this, which is QL mod ZL to the 2D. And if L does divide the characteristic, then you know, let's call it, in this case, if L does, so let's write L equals P just to be more suggestive, then this TP of A still makes sense, and it is defined in this way, it is ZP to the row, or R, let's say, where R is the P rank. Okay, so we know that this one is between 0 and d. D is the dimension of it. So as a abelian group, it's a free one has to be a little careful there. So it's I was going to say the TL is a free ZL module of rank 2D. Actually, there's a proof that's required to go from there to here. Now, do you want to break? Shall we continue? Break? Okay. Those who want to escape can escape. But the interesting stuff is coming next. So we'll start in 10 minutes, it's 11:10. Okay, we're back on. I have my Sudoku. Okay, so where are we? Take module is a free Z-Del module of rank 2D. Okay. Okay, now there's a map. Now consider the abelian group HOM AB here, where A and B are abelian varieties. So homomorphisms from one abelian variety to another. Now certainly when you have a map from A to B, it's a homomorphism, so it takes L power points to L power points. Right? It's a homomorphism, so if you have a point, if you have A to B and you have a point P, A on A that's killed by L, then the image will also be killed by L. Right? So this, any such HOM induces a map on the Tate modules at each finite layer. So in the any map, any morphism, homomorphism, A to B induces maps A bracket L to the N to B bracket L to the N for all N. And in the limit, you get a map from the Tate module of A to the Tate module of B. Notice the Tate module is a covariant functor. By the way, I guess I should say something about why one suddenly constructs this thing. It's about the search for a homology. Or maybe I don't, you don't know. Yeah, okay, let's make a remark. TL A is first homology of A. First L-adic homology of A. So, in other words, you should think of this as a kind of homology, H1. In fact, it's not just a kind of homology, it is homology. And I'll say here something and then I'm going to elaborate later on. See, over the complex numbers, A, the C points, can be identified with a torus, where L is a lattice in C to the D. So that is, L is isomorphic to Z to the 2D. It's some free abelian group sitting inside, discrete abelian group sitting inside C to the D. The lattice means exactly that. It's a free abelian group sitting inside C to the D, and it's of rank 2D. So L is isomorphic to Z to the 2D. And the homology of such a torus, you see, it can be defined H1 Z. By this I mean classical singular homology. Singular homology. Here is the lattice By the way, I'm sure you all know that for d equals 1, every elliptic curve looks like this, C modulo lattice, and conversely, every quotient, every one-dimensional torus, C modulo L, can be given the structure of an elliptic curve. Theorem, that result is false for d bigger than 1. Not every torus can be algebraized. In other words, for d bigger than 1, I can take a lattice, L, and try to form this quotient, and I will not be able to find any algebraic structure on it. In other words, I will not be able to, it's a complex manifold, but I will not be able to give it a geometric structure. Okay? So there's a condition on a lattice for which this torus will have a geometric structure. It has to do with the existence of a Kähler form. But in any case, but if I start with an abelian variety, then it looks like this torus, and the first homology is the lattice. So the problem is that if you're in a field of positive characteristic, there is no replacement for that. So if A is defined over a field of positive characteristic, there is no replacement, there is no lattice. And in fact, there is no H1 with values in Z or even Q. And this was a major problem for a long time. So what I'm trying to say is, homology and cohomology is a tool that is a very powerful tool that sort of linearizes nonlinear problems. And so you look for such constructions of homology and cohomology in different contexts to help you when you have presented with a problem. You hope that maybe when I read it in cohomology or homology, it becomes a simpler problem. But if over the complex numbers, I have such a homology theory readily available. It's singular homology, it's classical singular homology. But that's defined in terms of, how is that defined? In terms of singular decomposition, you take a manifold and you decompose it into simplices, right? And then you define chains and cochains. That's how you define singular homology. But over a field of positive characteristics, you do not have such simplicial decomposition and such a definition. And so the problem was, how would you define the homology? Now, this observation is just that it's not just that we're not clever enough to find the substitute for the lattice, but there is no substitute. That is, there is no homology theory taking values in Z or Q with something of positive characteristic. And I'll explain this again to you maybe by the end of this class. We'll come to a point where we will understand this remark even a little bit better, more clearly. But even here, you see, if I were to go back here, the points of order L over complex numbers are 1 over L times this lattice modulo the lattice. As you can see, if you have a torus and you're looking for points in C to the D that such that some L power of it lands into the lattice, it clearly is 1 over L script L modulo L. And similarly, if I have any N, I can put that as well. And this thing here is, since L is a free abelian group of over Z of rank 2D, this is Z mod L to the N 2D. So in a way, what's happening is this Tate module TL of A is a replacement for this lattice tensor ZL. Okay, so this is a feature in positive characteristic that you don't see in zero characteristic zero, that in order to work with this some analog of the lattice, you have to introduce another prime, L. Okay, so just keep this in mind that TL of A is not something that is just thought of by accident or is a good thing to construct. It is really an aim to solve a problem, a fundamental problem. Okay, so anyway, I remember that because I said this is covariant in the Tate module is a covariant functor. So if I have a map from A to B, I get a map from Tate module of A to Tate module of B. And so we have a map. So the point is this: the map Hom AB as abelian groups, as an abelian group, to Hom. I have a map from here to ZL Homs of TLA and TLB. And moreover, since this is a ZL module, I might as well extend this by ZL linearity. So I actually have a map like this. So we have a map. Okay, and the proposition is that this map is injective. So that these Homs are sitting inside the Homs of the TL. Why is that good? I just told you the reason why one tries to introduce homology or cohomology into a problem is to linearize the problem. TL of A is a free ZL module of rank 2D with these dimensions. This is, so I have maps, ZL maps of free modules. That's pretty easy to figure out. So this thing here on this side is of rank ZL module, the free ZL module of rank free ZL mod of rank at most. Well, I have this is free of rank 2D, two dimension of A. This is free of rank 2 times dimension of B. So I have a bunch of free things. Any Hom means any component here can be mapped to any component here, right? And a Hom from ZL to ZL is just ZL. Homs from ZL to ZL is because it's determined by once you know the map what one goes to. So this thing is free of rank 4 times dimension of A, dimension of B. Now, I will leave it to your imagination to just check. This thing here is torsion free. It has no torsion. And so I have a torsion free abelian group. And when I tensor with ZL, it's free of rank at most this. So this is, in fact, finite rank. It's a free abelian group of finite rank. Okay. Therefore, Hom Z Hom AB is a free abelian group of Z module of rank less than or equal to 4 times dimension A, dimension B. Now that's very interesting, you see, because this is a nonlinear thing, but I got the information by linearizing. Okay. And of course I need to know this thing to in order to just do what I did. Hom may be sitting inside there. So it's a free submodule of a free module. Okay. So think, for example, what does this say? For example, suppose dimension of A is 1, so of an elliptic curve. What is the possibility for end A? In other words, Hom A to A. A to A. So this is rank, it's free of rank at most 4. Could be, that's the point. It could be 4. Pardon? Does it depend on what?
Well, it depends on which, where on
the upper half. Very interesting point. No. 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 the thing here is the 4 comes in because of positive characteristic, so you know you don't see it on the upper half plane. If it's something that you can write on the upper half plane, in fact the rank is 2. So the 4 is only attained in positive characteristic, and that's related to this comment I was making about the lack of a good H1. So we also I make a remark also, Neron Severi, which I introduced before, which is pic mod pic naught. You see, I can make a map from here to Hom A into A hat by sending a line bundle to this map phi sub L. By definition, pick naught is the kernel of that. So in fact, I get an injection. So in particular, Neron Severi tensor, I don't need to tell you again, it's torsion free, is free of rank less than or equal to what? Well, according to this thing, it's 4 times the dimension of A times the dimension of A hat. By the way, dimension of A hat is the same as the dimension of A, so it's 4 times dimension of A squared. This is a free abelian group of rank 4 times dimension of A squared. So in particular, it's a finite rank, and the Picard number of A is the rank. This is the notation, is rank. Picard number maybe I say the following. Picard number is related to rational points as 1 is related to units. But okay, another way of saying this is Picard number controls what happens to zeta function, a certain zeta function at the edge of the critical strip. Rational points affect what happens to a zeta function at the center of the critical strip. Similarly, similarly, 1 is the order of pole of the zeta function at s equals 1, Dedekind zeta function, whereas at 0, the value is controlled by a regulator involving units. Okay, so the Picard number is related to rational points as one is related to units. Okay? Okay. Yeah, I mean it's a heuristic I'm talking about. The Picard number plays the role of one. I'll put it another way. It's the fact that the zeta function has a simple pole at s equals one. Okay, that simple pole, that pole of order one, is replaced in the context of abelian varieties by the Picard number. That one is replaced by the Picard number. Okay, eventually we'll. If we keep talking long enough, I will get to that. Okay. So I'm leaving this on because I want to come back and say something about it. For an abelian variety? No, I think for an... Oh, if you restrict the dimension as well, then no, there are limitations. But if you just want me to give you an abelian variety with Picard number 5, yeah, the answer is yes. Surface is different. Surface, I can't do it. I don't think
but
I can.
Why?
Yeah, because I can classify all the Picard numbers.
Yeah, I know, but I don't remember how and why it was 0.5,
but it's okay. For a surface, okay.
I don't
Pardon?
I don't remember now why five is the wrong. I mean, what's not possible for a surface?
I think it just comes from a classification. Point is, you can classify. You're talking about characteristic zero.
No, in fact, I don't.
In positive characteristic, it's more subtle.
I see. Even in positive characteristic,
five. I see. So if you ask me the problem in zero characteristic, what I would do is I'd go to the classification of endomorphism algebras, the Rosati involution, look at the fixed, and then I'd get the possible ranks that could occur. In positive characteristic, it's more complicated because we don't even have the complete classification of endomorphism algebras. I'm not sure how you would prove that.
But it's true,
no? I'm not sure, actually. So I don't know this particular example. So. Now, what can we say about the endomorphism algebra? So I want to say a few things. Firstly, we have the following proposition. If A is simple, that is, has no non-zero proper abelian subvariety, then end A is a division algebra. So if you have something which is simple, in the sense there is no proper non-zero abelian subvariety, then the endomorphism algebra is a division algebra. And the proof is, you see, any endomorphism is an isogeny. Because the kernel has to be zero, and the image has to be on the whole thing. There's no other subvarieties. There's no other abelian subvarieties. Now, if I give you, given any isogeny, let's say G from A to A, or actually A to B, there is another isogeny going the going in the other direction. H from B to A with G composed with H, so that let's put it the other way around, H composed with G from A to A is multiplication by N. Some N. And you can see that out by what we've already put on the board. You see, because say that the kernel of G is an isogeny, so it has a finite kernel. Say a kernel is, suppose the kernel is killed by N. In that case, it's contained in the kernel of N. Kernel is finite, so it's killed by some number. So that lets N be that number, then the whole kernel has to be contained in the kernel of the map multiplication by N. Okay, so then you have map multiplication by N goes from A to A, and you're given G from A to B, and B in fact is A mod kernel of G. Then there's a way to fill this with H. So I'm trying to say something more general here, but if I have a map from one to another, and the kernel of this map contains the kernel of this map, then I can fill in this diagram. Okay, so there's such an H, and this diagram will commute. So how does it commute? G and then H is multiplication by N. So this is sort of the condition that you need to check. And once you have this, by the way, it follows that G composed with H is also multiplication by N. See, by the way, if you're mystified by this H, think of this first group theoretically. Okay, think of it as groups. Suppose I just had groups. I have a map from one group to another, and a map from another, this group to this group, and with this condition. Then I'm claiming that I can define a map going from here, followed by this thing, by an obvious way. Namely, you take any point here, lift it to a point here, which you can because it is onto, and then map. And this condition tells me it's well defined. And you can also check it's a homomorphism. So group theoretically, it's completely evident. What is not evident is it's also geometric, that this is not just a group theoretic map, but a morphism of varieties. Okay, there some more argument is needed. And also this business, by the way, that this, okay, we got the construction, the fact this happens, you just do get it by looking at G of H. See, G composed with H is now a map from where to where. G composed with H goes from B to B. So G composed with H on any point Y is, Y is a point here, so it comes from here. So it's G composed with H, G of H of the Y, let's call it G of X. It's G of something. One, two, three. This map is onto. So I have a point here, pull it back here. It's G of something. So I have this, but then this is G of H composed with G is N, so this is NX, and G is a homomorphism, so this is N times G of X, which is N times Y. So the other one comes for free by the construction. So, given any isogeny, I have the thing going the other way around. And what does that mean? This means that, you see, this multiplication by N in end A becomes the identity in end A tensor Q. Once I tensor with Q, integers are invertible. So, what this is saying is that, therefore, in end A tensor Q, F, G and H are inverses. In end A, this thing is 1. So it tells me that therefore, if I have an isogeny A to A, it tells me that basically isogenies are invertible. So therefore, any isogeny is invertible. In this algebra. Because if I have any isogeny, I can find you another isogeny going the other way, such that the composition is 1. So it's got an inverse. Well, that's what it means to be a division algebra. Every non-zero element is invertible. So I guess the purist would have said, I should have said F is non-zero. So that's why a simple abelian variety has an endomorphism algebra, which is a division algebra. So now let's go back to the dimension 1 case. Dimension 1. So now I have n, for to be more suggestive, let's call it, say, A equals E. So I have n E tensor Q mapping to actually, maybe if I tensor with QL, this maps to end QL. Actually, let's keep it as this. Sorry. So ZL goes to end and since TL of E is ZL plus ZL, this is 2 by 2 matrices over ZL. And now if I tensor in fact with QL, so if I take end E tensor Q tensor with QL, then this is sitting in, and this is injective, this map is injective, so this is going into GL2 QL. Now, by what we just proved, end A is a division algebra. End E, rather, is a division algebra. So either it's commutative, and if it's commutative, so either end E, either it is commutative, in which case, in fact, it's got to be a field, because it's a division algebra, and therefore a field. Or it's non-commutative, but if you have a non-commutative algebra, these are semi-simple algebras, then it's got to have a rank, a square, over its center. But the dimension is at most 4. So it's got to be a quaternion algebra over Q. or it is a quaternion division algebra. Notice, by the way, some kind of remarkable thing, that you're working with an ability of an elliptic curve or a field of positive characteristic, but this is a Q algebra. This is a characteristic zero object. In particular, this division algebra is over Q. Kind of remarkable thing. It comes up several times in this thing. We'll construct things, we're working over fields of positive characteristics, suddenly we'll get polynomials with integer coefficients. Now that's a really, really remarkable fact. This is a quaternion division algebra over Q or a commutative field. And let me see now if I can tie up this loose end here about there is no H1 with coefficients in Z or even Q. See, the point is, if we had such a thing, homology or cohomology should be functorial. So if I had such an object, then you would expect that if we had such an H1, we would expect that H1 of E in this theory, whatever that theory is, should be two-dimensional, should be a two-dimensional two-vector space. Okay, suppose even in positive characteristics, suppose you were able to define an H1 with coefficients in Q. Okay, so by comparison theorems, you know, you want that, you know, if your elliptic curve is coming from coming from over C, that there should be consistency. So you want this to be a two-dimensional vector space. But on the other hand, you have end E tensor Q mapping into end, well, by functoriality, it should map to end H1 of E. So this will be, so in particular, invertible elements here should go to invertible elements. So and this is GL2 Q. I should have such a map. Now the point is, a quaternion algebra cannot be mapped to GL2. A quaternion algebra over Q does not have a two-dimensional Q representation. It does over R, of course. No, it does over C, over any field that splits the algebra. But you cannot embed a quaternion algebra, a division algebra, into GL2Q. So therefore, there is no such theory. There is no such H1. However, this whole problem disappears if you allow me to put L. You see, because if you allow me to put L here, then what it means is, now, yes, this could be division algebra, but that tells me that it better split at these primes. And that's why this map still makes sense. So at the same time, you get two things. One is, you can't do it with Q, and second thing, when you do it with the Tate module, it starts telling you information about what that division algebra is. It's not just any old division algebra. It has to be unramified at primes different from the characteristic. See, beautiful amount of information there. It's not just any old division algebra. If you give me an elliptic curve or a field of characteristic P, and endomorphism algebra is a quaternion division algebra, that division algebra is very specific. It's got to be unramified at all primes L not equal to P. Otherwise, this won't make sense. This won't make sense in the sense that this gets replaced with the Tate module. So that was what I was trying to say before, that the thing that replaces this non-existent theory is to use the Tate module. Okay. Now, in the minutes that are remaining, let's say a little bit about when does this happen. It's connected to the P-rank problem that we were talking about last time. suppose int E tensor Q is quaternion division algebra, then this algebra must be unramified at all times L not equal to P and infinity. It might ramify at infinity as well. Okay, but here is the point that proposition that the P rank of E is zero if and only if this endomorphism algebra is a quaternion division algebra. Okay, so to give you the idea of the proof, okay, so let's say, suppose not, okay, so that means that is N E tensor Q is commutative. Because that's the only other possibility. That's what we saw here. It's either commutative or it's a quaternion division algebra. Suppose it's commutative, so it's not some field. So then N E is some lattice. N E is an order. It's commutative, by the way, and it's clear in this case, yeah, it's a field. So say equal to a field K. Then ND is an order in K, and so it may not contain the full ring of integers, but some multiple of the full ring of integers will be contained in NE. So there exists an integer let's say N, so that N times the ring of integers of K is contained in N. Now, last time we showed that there are only finitely many, so last time we showed that there are only a finite number of isomorphism classes of elliptic curves of rank 0. Characteristic P. In other words, if you look at the totality of elliptic curves which are defined over a field of characteristic P, there are only a finite number of isomorphism classes of those curves which have P rank 0. By the way, P rank is constant in isomorphism. If I have two curves which are isomorphic, the P rank is the same. Also, if you have two, because in fact we showed that any such curve can be defined by an equation, a lambda form of the equation, the Legendre form of the equation, where lambda is the root of a very specific polynomial of degree P minus 1 over 2. So those, there are only finitely many such roots. This means, therefore, that we can choose N, this N up here, so that for any E prime, let's say, of P rank 0, even in E prime isogenous. To E, we have NO contained in N E prime. So I can find one uniformly such that for all these curves which are isogenous to E, they all have endomorphisms at least by N times O. Now let's choose a prime. You see, the Tate module gives you one for each prime, not equal to the characteristic. Actually, it gives you a module for even for the characteristic. Yeah. It doesn't depend on the isogeny class. Yeah, because N E tensor Q is constant over isogeny, right? The isogeny. No, I mean it's just sort of obvious because look, so I have E isogeny. I have an isogeny to E prime, and then I have an endomorphism from E to E, and I want to make. You see. Pardon? Yeah. Right. So. Yeah, exactly the point. Exactly. Isogenies are units, so I just go this way. Yeah. Okay, so I have all of these with endomorphisms by NO. Now take a prime L, which doesn't divide P and this number N, such that L remains prime in K. Okay, there's certainly infinitely many such primes. Actually, there's a subtle point here, which I won't say anything about unless you ask me. Okay, now take an alpha in the Tate module of E, but which is not in L times the Tate module. Okay, and in fact, I can take. I may need a stronger condition, but anyway, let's look at this one. So I have mapped TL of E to E bracket L to the N quotient maps. These are all quotients of TL for any N. So I can look at the image of alpha here, and I'll set case of N to be the subgroup generated by alpha. Okay, so for each N I get a certain subgroup. And now I consider the quotients. Consider the family. Okay, so that's one for each N. I've got an elliptic curve isogenous to E. According to my construction, they all have multiplication by NO. So, I have, if I choose an M bigger than or equal to N, I have E mod KM so I consider this family. There are only finitely many isogeny classes because they all have the same rank, because P rank doesn't change in notice, by the way, this family, they're all isogenous to one another. To E, and with degree, power of L. Actually, do I want to say isogenous or isomorphic? I don't know. Cross this. I don't want to say this. I don't want to say this. Yeah. Okay. So I want to appeal to this fact here. This one. There are only finite many isomorphism classes. So amongst this family of curves that I'm constructing, there are only finite many isomorphism classes. So if I pick some M sufficiently large, then I've got to find an N such that this is isomorphic. Isomorphic. Okay, on the other hand, I have a map, a natural map this way, because the KNs are increasing. Right? So I can mod out by a bigger group and I get this map this way. And therefore, putting this together, I get a map from here to here. Let's call this map beta. The kernel of beta is Km mod Kn, because this is an isomorphism and this has kernel Km mod Kn. So the kernel of beta is Km mod Kn. But K's are all defined by subgroups generated by a single element, so this is cyclic. It's cyclic, and moreover, it's cyclic of L power order, because all of these are sitting inside E bracket L power groups. Okay. On the other hand, so we'll finish up very quickly, the degree of this beta, you see, I'm assuming that our multiplication is by this field K, so the degree of, so this beta is some endomorphism living, it's an element of the field, so its degree is the norm of the element. So this thing here, degree is the norm from K to Q of beta. And I want to say that this is a, because of this fact, the degree is a prime power order, this is a power of L. So that means the ideal generated by beta has a prime divisor over L. But L stays prime, that was the choice. We chose the prime little L which remains prime in capital K. So that means the ideal beta is divisible by some power of L, that's the R, and nothing else actually. It can't have any, it's not supported anywhere else, because otherwise you'd see it in the degree. So it's got to be a power of L. So that means beta itself has to be L to the R times some unit in the in K. Okay, now let's multiply by this element n. So n times beta looks like n times L to the R times a unit. So the kernel of n times beta has this L to the R in it, you see. So if I were to take the L primary part of the kernel, L primary part, kernel has, you see the L to the R here, has a full Z mod L to the R squared. Because part of the kernel is the kernel of multiplication by L to the R. And L is prime to the characteristic. But on the other hand, this thing here, the L primary part of this thing, you see, has to be, as I told you here, it's cyclic. It's cyclic. So that's a contradiction.
Is it up here
take a prime L that remains prime in capital K?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's not obvious, but that's a subtle point. So in general, if I give you a number field, then it's unramified. Unramified, but it stays prime. That can only happen if you have a cyclic extension. Right? Well, in fact, it turns out this K is an imaginary quadratic field. That's why you can do it. So that's a contradiction. So that's how you show that if the P rank is zero, then the endomorphism in algebra is a quaternion division algebra. Now, where did we use the P rank zero? Here. To get the finite number of isomorphism classes. That's sort of key in the way Tate's conjecture is proved over finite fields. This argument, the reason I've spent some time explaining it to you, this is the method that Tate eventually used to prove the Tate conjecture over finite fields. So I'll come to that next time.